This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Crydell. We've got a lakeshore flood advisory in effect until 1 a.m. tomorrow morning. Other than that, the rest of the day, windy with gusts over 40 miles an hour. Otherwise, chilly, clouds breaking for some sun, a high of 52, and overnight a low of 39. The weekend looks like it's going to be sunny and breezy and very warm on Easter Sunday.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. No market movement today. The trading week is already closed as the markets are shut down in observance of the Good Friday holiday. But there is lots to come on today's Noon Business Hour. We'll get an analysis of some situations in the workplace. You have more and more people who are working remotely. Is it actually good for your mental health? Also, the latest on earnings news as earnings season is well underway. McDonald's making some changes to its lineup. And Entrepreneur Friday, we'll talk to a family out in the far western suburbs owning Raging Waves. What's it like to keep a small mom and pop business going, although it's actually not that small?
And wet.
Yeah, it's very, very wet for sure. Also, Easter retail, a lot of people buying things for Easter. It's a really good time for a wide variety of stores. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A report is detailing the potential impact of the new North American Free Trade Pact on the U.S. economy. We're going to learn more in our next segment. But right now, let's focus on some trends in the business world. Some of the issues coming up, the way people work is evolving. And we welcome Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President at Challenger Gray and Christmas here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Rick. Some of the trends in business for the kids who are in their 20s have an interest in working at home. How does that work?
Well, sure. So there's a couple of things that companies have to think about. One of them is that the people that you need to do the jobs are less likely to be in significant populations in your market than they used to be. Chicago and Cook County's general population growth is shrinking. And the people that you want like remote work. So first you look at the job. Is it a job that can be done remotely? Is it compatible with remote environment? It's not necessarily specifically time sensitive, and it doesn't require a lot of immediate collaboration like a marketing team. Then the second thing is to evaluate the people. Are they people that are able to work remotely? Are they going to be independent and self-directed? Can they keep themselves from being distracted? And probably the biggest issue for remote work is actually loneliness. Some people just cannot operate without other people around them. And then the infrastructure. You have technology available that's solid and steady. Of course, I'm talking on my cell phone today because I think the wind blew my line out, so I'm an example of that.
What about the way people work if they are inside? How casual can we be?
I think that we have to look at the demographics globally, and particularly in the United States, are continue to trend towards we need more people than we're going to have for the jobs that exist. We have to make more allowances and concessions, one, for how people work and how they're most comfortable working, and two, because of the multi-generational nature of work. You know, we're going to have three significant work segments, about a third each, baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials. And the data shows some interesting things. There's a stigma attached to millennials that they want to stay there for a year and go somewhere else. But the reality is they're less likely to move even than a boomer. So we're going to have to figure out how to get along with everybody and interact and blend these as opposed to put them in different segments.
Talk about the remote employee again. Is that where, especially if you're an extrovert, you really want to be around people, that flexibility of being able to work from home maybe in the long run isn't so good?
Yeah, I think, and some of it has to do with culture. You can't. I don't think it makes sense, and we have a lot of people in our own organization that work remotely, but we bring them in on a regular basis to have meetings just to make sure that we're connected. They come in for refreshers or specific topic guidance, and the technology also allows you to do some things that you couldn't do before. That, you know, this Skype, Zoom, GoToMeeting, WebEx. There's lots of ways to actually make eye contact and have some fun with that. Again, it goes back to something that we have a concern about in Illinois and a lot of the Midwest, which is the infrastructure available and solid enough so that people can work remotely. Because if it is, and the bandwidth is good, Skype and some of the other things that you can do, and as I said, GoToMeeting and WebEx, those will allow you to have more connection with people and then bringing them in for meetings as well.
And is there a situation where you have so many of these people working remotely? Is it a situation where it ends up being better for the employer? I mean, I'm trying to think of just maybe extra hours that are worked because they're not spent on a train or in a car.
That's absolutely the case. You know, so you think about it from the employees. If from the employees' perspective, they don't have to commute. They can work sort of on their own schedule as long as they're getting the work done. It's not necessary that they have to start right at 8 unless it's the call that they have to be on. So then from the employer's perspective, the data out there that says that the productivity for people who work remotely, provided the job is the right kind of job, is between 13 and 15% better. So they're getting more work done. You're not paying for the heating and air conditioning and all the other things you have in building the office spaces that you're trying to maintain. People can actually, when you have a pandemic, when you have some sort of flu that's going around in the winter, you're less likely to spread that around. People can stay home and work as opposed to bringing it to the office and making everybody sick and losing 20% of your office.
Is some of it maybe season of life, too. If for a man or woman with young kids, maybe that flexible home schedule is easier.
It really is. And I think that you have to look at we're struggling. It's a cultural revolution in some ways because those of, you know, the baby boomer generation, and I fit into that category, you know, there's a presenteeism to our work. You know, if I don't show up for work, I'm worried that someone's either going to know that I'm not necessary, or someone's going to take my job, and I want to be able to see and manage everything. The reality is the work can get done. So the organizations have to come up with effective ways of measuring the work in terms of what it does for productivity and recognizing the people that do that work, because that's how you're going to retain those people. But staying home when your kid is sick, making sure that somebody can be there for them, pick them up at the right time, those are all quality of life things that people really need better.
Thanks for the insight, Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President at Challenger, Gray, and Christmas here in Chicago. Coming up, an update on trade, plus the latest snapshot of the U.S. housing market.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The report on housing starts leads today's data, while talk on trade is a hot topic of discussion. We're joined by Robert Dye, Chief Economist at Comerica Bank, based in Dallas. Robert, let's begin with trade. We've been hearing for a long time, a deal is imminent. As we hear this even more, is there a chance once a deal is finally done that maybe we could be surprised by some of the good things in it?
Well, trade's a complicated issue, and I don't want to overplay it. I do think we're going to get a deal fairly soon, and I do think the financial markets in particular will respond positively to that. I'm not sure it's going to be a fundamental game changer for the U.S. economy, though, so I'll put it on a short-term positive, but I'm going to discount it in terms of long-term potential.
What would you want to see in it in order for it to have a substantive change on our economy, a positive change?
Well, yes, and I think the issue of protection of intellectual capital is absolutely key, and the issue of enforcement is absolutely key. Opening up the China markets fundamentally to more U.S. Products is very important, and I think we'll go a step in all those directions. But again, what I'm hearing from Washington is there is a little bit of skepticism out there just in terms of how strong a new deal can be, particularly in terms of enforcement.
What would be the most hopeful, the item that we would be most hopeful for, and what would its impact be on Americans?
Well, certainly if we can do anything to bolster our export markets, opening up China a little bit more to U.S. products, anything that we can do to help protect the intellectual capital of U.S. companies over there would be great. But like I said, I'm going to say that these are going to be marginal impacts. I don't want to discount the sort of short-term boost we're going to get. Financial markets are going to love it. The press is going to love it. But the U.S. is not primarily an export-oriented economy. It's a consumer economy. And it's really all about, the health of the U.S. consumer sector, the health of the households, and the health of the overall corporate sector within our economy.
Are you concerned about perhaps the impact of the political arena with this?
Well, hopefully with the Mueller report, we're removing some uncertainty, good, bad, or indifferent. However you read the report, there's no doubt that it's added to uncertainty at a time when we're facing other sources of uncertainty. We had the Fed tightening cycle, unsure about how that was going to impact the economy. We've had a cooler growth in China and in Europe as well. We had the government shutdown. So I'm looking forward to hopefully a summer of less uncertainty. And I think given the positive nature of recent economic data this week in particular, that bodes well for the U.S. economy.
Thanks so much for the analysis, Robert Dye, chief economist at Comerica Bank, based in Dallas. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, getting ready for water park season in the Chicago area. Also, analysis of Easter retail, as a lot of people do a lot of shopping around Easter. And we'll get a check of business news from Bloomberg next.
The Halloween season is the most lucrative for the candy industry, as you might expect.
But Easter is a close second.
Chris Gindelsberger of the National Confectioners Association saying the Easter season brings in about $3.2 billion.
Two-thirds of Americans will put together Easter baskets.
So the battle is on to fill those baskets. Big companies like Hershey save their marketing dollars for times like this. Hershey owns Cadbury, and Cadbury has spent the last few months promoting bunny tryouts.
Everyone wants to be the Cadbury bunny, because only he brings delicious Cadbury cream eggs.
A bulldog wearing bunny ears won that contest. All the advertising aimed at selling holiday-themed variations of candies.
What we call line extensions.
Your favorite candy shaped like an egg or chick or bunny.
Always chicks and rabbits. What's so new about this?
Well, nothing, but demand for healthier treats is relatively new. The candy industry responding with a website with tips about managing your sugar intake. With business at 25 and 55 from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Michael Lysak, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
The major exchanges are closed in observance of the Good Friday holiday. We'll take a look at the trends in the markets and get the latest on earnings season.
In Entrepreneur Friday, a water park outside the city has been drawing crowds of families far more than a decade, and we're going to find out what has made it a success.
Americans will spend more than $18 billion on Easter related items this year. We'll delve into holiday retail.
The search continues for a missing boy from Crystal Lake.
No market activity today because they're closed because of Good Friday. Beautiful sunshine in Chicagoland. A lot of the clouds have rolled out as we head to a high of 52. Beautiful weekend in store. Sunshine Saturday and Sunday. High 62 tomorrow. High 77 on Sunday. Right now, 46 O'Hare, 45 Midway, 41 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
No market activity in the U.S. today on this Good Friday, giving us a chance now to look at Wall Street and earnings season. We're joined by Paul Nolte, portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. Paul, this is a time where we can just talk with various issues. What's on your mind today?
Well, I mean, we're in the middle of the earnings season, in the front end of it, really, as we get into the very busy part of it this week and next week, certainly. So we're keeping a close eye on what companies are saying, not so much about what happened last quarter, but what they're seeing going forward and trying to tie that into the overall economic environment. I think a lot of people are assuming that first quarter was probably going to be the weakest quarter all year and things are going to kind of ramp up from there.
Do you agree with them?
I think, you know, I just, to a certain degree, I think so. We're seeing a little bit of more strength in some of the economic numbers, certainly from what we saw a couple months ago. We'll have to see if that is just a snapback, if you will, from a very cold winter, and if it has some staying power beyond a month or two.
Been interested in seeing as the earnings have come in. A lot of folks thought financials across the board would be really strong, but you kind of had some winners and some, maybe not losers, but they're just not as good as people were thinking. What is that about? Is it management team, products? Why do you have those winners and losers in a sector overall that was expected to do well?
Well, it really comes down to product mix, and certainly a lot of the bigger companies like the Goldman Sachs, the J.P. Morgans, and Wells Fargo, each of those, even though they're considered money center banks, are very different in the product lines that they offer and the business services that are involved in. So it's not necessarily what's good for Goldman Sachs is going to be good for J.P. Morgan, is going to be good for Wells Fargo. So it is very uneven across those industries. So it's not quite the homogenous business that you would think of when you start thinking banking.
So obviously earnings and those announcements are important, but that forward guidance also important. There's still a lot of companies to announce, but what do you make so far of what companies are thinking about the near future?
Well, there's a few that have certainly boosted up their estimates, but on the whole, they're still playing a little bit of poker and kind of keeping their cards close to the vest. The expectations coming into last week were that earnings would be down this quarter probably about 4.5%. That's been modestly cut to maybe down 3.5%. And maybe a flat next quarter, and then you could see estimates for double digits when we get to the fourth quarter. So certainly Wall Street as well as companies are kind of guiding to the fact that first quarter, don't worry about it, it's in the past, things are going to be looking better going forward.
We have an interesting story stock today. It's a Chicago-based McDonald's cutting its premium sandwiches line, the signature crafted recipes, after 2 years, and they're going to go on to a different... this must be interesting for McDonald's people who go there and they see something new on the menu.
It is. And, you know, well, for them, the late-night menu they will use to try out different things, and they have had... very large late-night menu, which really for a lot of the franchisees makes it difficult to continue to have all the product on hand and deliver it as well as they would like to. So they're really reducing the amount of stuff that they have over late night. And they're finding, too, that maybe the signature crafted is not as popular as some of their basic fare, the Big Mac, the double cheeseburger, et cetera. So I think as they try different items, and they've done this in the past, they've had a Philly cheesesteak, they've had bratwurst, even a corn dog, they find that, you know, that it's not quite working out as well as they thought, and they wind up pulling it. So I think it's part of that process that McDonald's goes through as they've gone over the last few decades trying different things and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, they've been here for several decades, and changing something is something that they must take very carefully under observation. What do you think about an investment in McDonald's?
You know, McDonald's is kind of an interesting one, and I used it a lot when I was teaching a finance class. It's one that when you look at the company from a top-line perspective, their overall revenue has actually shrunk over the last 10 years, but their earnings per share has almost doubled. They have doubled the amount of debt that they're taking on right now versus 10 years ago. And they reduced their number of share count, their total shares outstanding, by 30%. They are the poster child of what a lot of companies are doing, increasing debt, buying back stock, but maybe not necessarily selling more stuff. And that's really what I think we're starting to see in the markets here. And I think a lot of investors are looking more to, are they increasing overall revenue, that top-line growth? So McDonald's for us right now looks to be an expensive stock based on its own historical performance of where it normally values out, but it's similar to a lot of other companies that are public right now.
Paul Nolte, thanks for being with us. Paul is portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. Up next, Entrepreneur Friday, a family-owned water park that is thriving in the western suburbs.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Hotels of Oak Brook. It's not quite water park weather yet. Getting there, though, let's look ahead to summer with Randy Witt, co-owner of Raging Waves in Yorkville, far west suburban Yorkville. Randy, thanks for being on the show. Talk about, especially for other entrepreneurs, talk about being in a business like owning a water park and having competition from all sorts of areas and keeping it going and keeping it going well as a family-owned business.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, first of all. Yeah, the biggest thing for us is I think what we have to do is stay the course. We are a mom-and-pop owned. We are unofficially the largest mom-and-pop owned water park in the nation. But for us, it's just all about staying the course, providing a great environment, providing good value, providing just a memory that people will hang on to for a long, long time. That's really, really what we need to do. We got to provide a good, clean, safe environment. And I think that's what we strive for. That's what we accomplish. And I think as long as we stick to those core values and just, as I said before, just stay the course, we'll be fine. It's proven to be good.
Talk about some of the maybe some of the benefits and some of the challenges of continuing after more than a decade of being a mom and pop business. I know a lot of people think when they start something, hey, they want to hurry up and go public or get a bunch of other investors involved. Talk about some of the good and the bad of keeping it in the family.
Yeah, the good is you get to retain a lot of control, and you get to do the things the way you see best to do those. We have always prided ourselves on just taking a big picture look at things, like how are we going to do it? How do we make these decisions? Is it really best for the patrons? Is it best for the company? So the good of it is, yet you get to do that in a way that you get to control. The downside of that is everything rises and falls on this one business. You know, I mean, we are, as you know, very weather related. And, you know, if I have a number of other parks scattered throughout the country and one isn't doing so good and one's doing good, you know, it would tend to balance themselves out. But everything, you know, everything, like I said, it just rises and falls on what we do here. But fortunately, it's been going in the right direction.
Must also take a lot of time and a lot of money in terms of safety, which probably is one of your biggest goals.
Safety is paramount. I mean, that is the number one thing. If you don't provide a safe environment, believe me, nobody is going to come here. You have to provide a very clean, friendly, but above all, a safe environment. So, yeah, it does. We look at things. We risk manage to the hilt. We walk around. Every time we walk around, even in the off season. As a matter of fact, we were just doing it this morning. What do we need to do here? What do we need to do there? What could that be? We're always looking at it from that end. So, yeah, safety is just critically important to us.
Okay, so tell us, Randy, what do you like to play on at the park there? What's your favorite?
Yeah, that's a good question. We put in a new ride in 2016. At the time, it was the fourth. It won the award for the fourth best new ride in the nation, and that's Wonambi. And that, to me, is just a really, really thrilling ride. You circle around these 540-degree helixes, and then you come down at about 35 miles an hour, and you go up into a 42-foot-high wall that gives you an almost like zero gravity feeling, and you just stick to that wall. It's so cool. Gravity really does work. It sticks you to that wall, and then you come out, and that to me is the funnest ride. We have a lot of them. The Boomerang as well is really a fun ride here, but Wonambi, for me personally, that's my favorite.
Randy, I'm interested in how you decided on the location. I've been out in that area. I'm out there quite often. Your water park sort of rises from the cornfields out there in Yorkfield,
yeah.
Yorkville around 47. How'd you decide this was the place that you could make it work?
Yeah, well, great question. Wow. I'll try to make it short. So back when we took entitlement of this property, it was in Kendall County. It was the fastest growing county in the nation, in the entire nation, and everything was heading this way. And then, as we all know, 2008 hit, and that, as fate would have it, that is the year we opened. So everything just kind of slowed down. But we moved out here because, to answer your question, because there was still plenty of land available. We sit on 58 acres, so we have so much room for expansion and growth and the phases that we want to incorporate in the next upcoming years. But there was available land, and we were moving into a very, very aggressive, again, the fastest growing county in the nation. So we were heading this way, and that's how we made it work. And we wanted to separate ourselves, too. You know, we have the neighbors up to the north with parks up in the Dells and even at Great America. So we thought we should gain some separation from that and kind of cover this niche of the market, if you will.
Well, more than 10 years later, still going strong. Good luck to you. Thanks for being with us. Randy Witt, co-owner of Raging Waves Water Park in far west suburban Yorkville. He's our entrepreneur this Friday. Still to come, a look at Easter holiday retail.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:48. Easter is usually time for spending money, but it may not be this year. Let's talk to Bob Phibbs, CEO of The Retail Doctor and RetailDoc.com. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour, Bob. Are we seeing the kind of spending that we usually do?
Well, I think we are. I mean, you can't get away from the fact that $18 billion is expected to be spent. So clearly, and 85% of those who responded to the NRF survey are under 35. So it's really kind of interesting that the younger tradition, the younger generation, is doing more than baby boomers.
Well, there's some consideration. Numbers are actually, I'm told, they're down about $50 million this year. The spending peaked in 2017. Why would that be? Is that the economy in general?
Well, the economy, it could be any number of things. I mean, the reality is $50 million compared to $18 billion. I mean, you know, that's like not saying I didn't get an A-plus on it. But, you know, look, March just came out of a stronger season than we thought it was going to be. So, you know, ultimately we won't know anything until April. But I think the key is going to be knowing who your customer are. And, you know, some retailers are still going to close on this Sunday and some will be open based on their own personal things, and ultimately the customer is who's going to determine how well this is. And with a great warm spring, we're expecting more people to be outside, and I'm pretty stoked that it's still going to come through without having a decline.
So we have a lot of candy probably purchased around Easter. What other things are people out buying for specifically around maybe this holiday weekend?
Seems to be that food is going to be a big one, you know, not cooking at home as much. I think we're talking about decorations at home are increasing, whereas greeting cards and some of those things might be down a bit.
Bob Phibbs, good insight. Thanks for being with us. Bob is CEO of The Retail Doctor, online at RetailDoc.com. We'll get a check of business news from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of business news on a day the markets are closed for the holiday. Sponsored by FinishingChicago.com.
The price of being a cord cutter might be going up. The monthly price of streaming services such as Netflix, Hulu, YouTube TV, and Sling are about to rise, inching toward $15 a month. But there's still demand for all of them. Maybe even room for new ones, such as Disney+. Jim Nail is a market analyst at Forrester Research.
They're very different services, and I think there is room in consumers' wallets. I don't think consumers are going to sit there and say, Netflix or Disney, which one? I think we'll see consumers pick two, three, maybe four streaming services.
Nail points out that the transition from cable TV to on-demand streaming is happening fast. Nielsen reports 28 million homes already have cut the cord. The real pressure is on these services to develop new shows, movies, and other content.
There'll be more of a bidding war for talent. Cost of programming could well go up.
But even at higher prices, it could still pay to stay home, for now.
At $13 a month, that's less than one ticket to a movie.
With business at 25 and 55, from the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Ann Mostu, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.